Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at Leviticus 19 from verses 9 to 18. This is the first lesson for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This is from verses 1 to 2 of chapter 19. These words establish the context for our proclamation this morning. It's sometimes called the Holiness Code, a section in the Old Testament book of Leviticus that describes for God's people what holiness is all about. More importantly, for God's people, it described what they were all about. You see, holiness was the identity of God's people, Israel, and for them it's what the other nations were to see and talk about when they met Israel. This is what caused them immense pride over the years. Part of our prayer this day will be that though we recognize much in the same way, we are God's holy people. It is nothing in and of ourselves that we are given this name, but that God simply graces us with this title. In other words, the only reason we have this identity is because it is a gift from God. You and I have an identity, holy in Christ. Yet though it is a gift, we claim this identity as our own, and by His grace we may live by it. We know that the Lord Yahweh really is the source of our holiness. Again, it's not from within ourselves where we can do good things in order to make ourselves holy. No more than a cold-blooded animal that feels cold can make itself warm in and of itself. It simply isn't built that way, or now beholds that inherent flaw. Again, a snake or frog must find warmth from some other source, from direct sunlight, perhaps, or a warm rock. Without a source of warmth, it freezes. When it comes to our holiness, we are all cold-blooded creatures. We cannot generate our own. We are warmed by a holy God who alone makes us holy. As the baptized, we are God's holy priesthood. In our baptisms, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who continues to teach us. We learn to be the people that we are in Christ. For this reason, we are always learning. We never stop. It's a constant pattern to continue to learn to keep His name holy in our lives. We are learning to shun sin so that we do not desecrate God's holy name. And this is much easier said than done. In fact, ironically, one might say it's even done in that order. By God's holy word, which is spoken into our ears, hearts, and minds frequently, we are then able to live in Him, because He is in us. In other words, if we don't go to church, if we're not receiving His sunlight or basking on the rock of righteousness, we will become cold. The Lord Yahweh shows us how we are to walk in His holiness. He does this by reminding us how generous He has been to us, reminding us of the rock of our faith, Jesus Christ. Because we remember how He loved us, He also causes us to love our neighbor. And I suppose it could be said from there that even loving our neighbor, we are reminded of how God loves us. Otherwise, we would never be so inspired to love our neighbor. Not in the usual way such self-sacrificing love reveals itself through us anyway. So like Israel, we are to see that there are many fields ripe for harvest. There are plenty of goods to go around. And like the days of old, when the poor could graze in the vineyards of the rich, those who lack money or who are the genuine sojourner should be able to be helped by the likes of you and me, who serve others as we have been served by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How shall we serve our neighbor? Essentially, it's never to begrudge anyone anything. And I say it like that because it's usually best expressed with those whom you know quite well, but you decide to turn the other cheek. Perhaps a family member or a close friend or neighbor you've known for quite a while musters up the courage to ask you for something, even though they know perfectly well that they have no right to, and an event is clear in their mind of a time when the shoe was quite on the other foot, but they did nothing for you. It is the love of God inside you, because you have been set apart from those who only think selfishly in this world, that you would do whatever they ask. It is this act which is in concord with you being holy before God, but again not because of what you've done, but because of what you believe, which naturally produces this fruit within you. It's all a part of that Jesus being complicated we talked about last week. In other words, it will never be good enough to talk about holiness as something that emanates from you. Every time you speak of holiness and the fact that it is evidently present in or among someone, you must talk about the real source of this holiness, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom all have been set apart because they have been saved by his cross. There is no other reason for true holiness. This is the only reason we serve others, because we have been so perfectly served ourselves. I wish it were simpler. I wish I could say it was all about me. Just look at my works. I did that. But it's not that simple. If you want to look at the evil I've done, yes, it is that simple. But when it comes to the good things I've done, it's a lot more complicated. Why? Because no one is good but God. Jesus said that himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 18. There's a direct correlation between Yahweh being my God and my goodness. And it must be stated every time. God became flesh and died for my sin. Jesus, the Son of God, was set apart, made holy, for that purpose, and it is in his holiness alone that I am made holy. His works become my works by the grace of the Spirit, and so he gets the credit again. He gets the credit for my salvation, and he gets the credit for the good works that I do on this earth. He gets the credit for my holiness, because without either, I would be nothing. It is only in this knowledge that I can ever hope to truly live according to the Ten Commandments, to not steal, lie, or bear false witness against my neighbor, to honor the name of Yahweh above every name. We remember how Israel of old were set apart as a nation to worship God in a special way, first with the tabernacle and then with the temple in Jerusalem. We know how they were to pray in God's name for the benefit of all people. Why was this? Because the name of Yahweh is holy, special, it's unique. Today, because we continue to honor the name of Yahweh in a special way, set a day apart every week as holy unto the Lord, pray to him unceasingly, it is the same Spirit which causes us to not cheat our workers out of their wages, curse the deaf, or cause the blind to stumble. Because we both fear and love God, we hear and see all that he wants us to do. He wants us to love our neighbor. That's a fairly simple statement. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Ellman. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is to be holy in Christ. For our holiness to be something that is given to us so that we may bear the fruits of repentance. Just like our salvation is given to us, so is our holiness. We don't do anything to prove we are holy in Christ. It is simply true that because we are justified by Christ alone and believe that, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, it is also his will to sanctify us, to give us the gift of being able to follow him as well. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Find comfort and joy in Songs of Hope.
Read and explore the scriptures with me every Thursday here on Lutheran Radio UK.
Songs of Hope, weekly reflections on the Psalms with Denise Seaman. Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about what it is to have the identity of Christ. You see, Jesus is the Christ. And if that's true, then that's an amazing thing to behold and believe. It is nothing in and of yourself, then, that in this knowledge of Christ you decide to become a better person, or, as we've been saying, holy. It is the very fact that because Jesus is so amazing, in and of himself, as the head of his body, the church, he moves even the likes of you and me. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. What I find funny is how some people can either only think about the law or only think about the gospel at one time. God wants us to think about both all the time. This is so that when we think of the law, we are not thinking about how righteous we are in our actions before God, but how we are utter sinners, but at the same time do not in that instant despair of our existence, because in light of the gospel, in light of the fact that our sins have been atoned for on behalf of Christ, we are saved from the fate of being judged according to our sin, because Christ has been judged in our stead. But not only that, because we are able to think of gospel and law simultaneously as well, we are able to be made holy and obey the law. By the grace of the Spirit, be sanctified, be brought closer to God, as we ponder how we have been saved. There's a direct connection between how we were lost because of our sin, but how we can now live for God because we are saved. It's called the grace of God and his means of grace. There's such a clear connection here that so many people see the fruits of one's faith as adding to their righteousness, but this would simply be a misunderstanding of the fact that they are righteous for the sake of Jesus already, who died for them, through whom they now believe and live their lives. Because we now have this distinction, I think Christians can better practice justice and righteousness in light of how they have been judged/forgiven for their sins. This is why the people of Israel once upon a time were also to be the judges over all people. Sadly, this was lost over time, and by the time of Jesus, apart from the incarnation of God himself, the average Jew had absolutely no idea how to judge true righteousness without partiality. They had lost all hope of being able, as a people, to stand up for the sanctity of life. This is exactly what we are able to be standing up for today, as much as back then. In fact, it was from day one that we were to have kept life holy, all life. But in light of Christ and what he has done for us, There should not be an easier way to see this truth and the best example of how it is accomplished. The Lord Jesus is the very identity of holiness. We do struggle with our identity sometimes. Christ's identity certainly doesn't sound much like us, and there's a good reason for that. But if we are talking about who we are in Him, surely you can see that there is no one we can be more like, because then it isn't a matter of who we seem to be, it's who we are in Him. Because He is in us, we are His holiness. No, in and of ourselves we are not holy. In fact, we want to take advantage of our neighbor, but in Christ we want to be an advantage to our neighbor. By ourselves we think of ways in which we should be served, but in Christ we think of ways in which we can serve our neighbor. It's weird. How can God possibly identify with the likes of us? How can we be called His holy people? Because it's not all about us. In fact, hardly any of it is about us. Even our holiness is not down to us. It's about Jesus. Jesus is holy. Because Jesus is holy, because He came to be the perfect neighbor, i.e. died for our sin on the cross so that all mankind might be saved, because He has saved you and me from everlasting judgment, He also, through faith, makes you and me holy. It's not just the case that He is holy and we see that He is holy and so we try to be as holy as He is, but because He is nothing but holy, we are necessarily holy because we are the body of Christ, everyone who believes. His holiness is made our own. There's a constant battle within us, yes, because more acute to our nature is our own selfishness. But because God's love and holiness has never before been so revealed as it has in Jesus Christ, in that the fullness of time has come to be in the climax of His act of atonement for mankind on the cross, this holiness is directly connected to us in the most intimate way that anything ever could be for all time. So in this way, His holiness is our holiness. Not because we are holy, but because He is holy, and therefore, yes, we are holy. In other words, our very holiness has nothing to do with us, but has everything to do with Jesus. This makes perfect sense when we think of God as love, and therefore Jesus as incarnate love. Jesus, by coming to earth, emptied Himself to be poor. Jesus Himself became a sojourner. Jesus was stripped of His clothing and put to death on a cross. Jesus was slandered, His name profaned on the lips of men. Jesus was cursed. Many obstacles were put in His way as He tried to proclaim true justice for men. Jesus Himself was judged unjustly. In essence, Jesus came to serve and not be served. Why? You and I cannot answer that question because you and I are not holy in and of ourselves. We will never be. This is one of the best evidences for that. God alone answers the question by saying, I am God. I am holy. I am Jesus Christ. I did it because I wanted to. This was my plan. No, you are not worthy, but I still did it. We have no right to answer this question for the very reason that we are not worthy. We are not holy. We are to simply hear and repeat or confess back to God, Jesus is Yahweh, my God and my Redeemer. He is not only the source of my holiness, He is my holiness, and my true identity is found in Jesus Christ. We are holy because we are baptized into Christ Jesus. We believe in Him to be our Savior, our Lord, Yahweh, holy in and of Himself, who makes us holy. That's our identity, and so that's who we are too, holy in the name of Jesus. Holy to live for Him, because only in Him are we saved and receive life everlasting. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk
and stay tuned.
All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.